Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
They were going to get going, right? Where, you know, Steph had a pretty slow start in the first quarter, but then he went back to normal in the second, third, and fourth. Klay was getting going early in the fourth, and then midway through the fourth, they kind of passed the baton to Kevin Durant and let him do his thing. But what I found very interesting and ironic is he hits that dagger three at the end of the game to tie it, but that was his only three of the night. He went 1 of 7, but everywhere else was inside the paint, mid-range, which is his game, but I think it became really effective yesterday against the Heat because they were guarding really heavily against the three-point shot. And I think that this goes to show that when you have a guy that can make mid-range shots, you shouldn't be all worried about, oh, is the math on your side, i.e. what the Houston Rockets say. If you have a guy who can make the mid-range, you should take advantage of it, and Kevin certainly did.
Were you shocked at the end of the game, or after the game, that Dwayne Wade and Steph exchanged jerseys? Were you not surprised that KD's been in the league longer? He's, you know, even though we know that Steph is a superstar in his own right, without a doubt. But are you not shocked that he didn't exchange that with KD?
No, I thought it was going to be Steph just because, I mean, he's the guy on the team. He has more history. And, you know, if you're going to break it down a little bit, they all were giving Dwayne Wade hugs and sharing encouraging words. But Steph was lingering around longer. Like, Kevin just went in and hugged him a little bit and was ready to leave. So, like, if Kevin really wanted to get his fingerprints in there and do the jersey swap, you'd think he would have stuck around, right?
Great point. Mark Medina, San Jose Mercury News, with us here on 95.7 The Game. We are now 10 games into the Boogie Cousins experiment. He's averaging about 23 minutes a night, 14 points, 6 boards, 3 assists. 10 games in, it's early, but how would you grade DeMarcus Cousins with the Golden State Warriors?
Well, I would grade it with an A, with the caveat that he's not 100%. He's still rusty, and I think that's what the scary thing is that he's going to continue to get better. And Steve Kerr was saying that at some point after the All-Star break, he could see the scenario where he's going to be bumping up his minutes, possibly in the low 30s. And right now, he's been sticking, for the most part, around that 25-minute range. But in the last two games, he was able to push it up a little bit to 27. Against Miami, it was a little bit more circumstantial where, you know, he had to account for Andre Iguodala being out of the lineup because he had left hamstring tightness. So this was the first time that DeMarcus closed out the game. And there were some growing pains with that, but he made the most important play of the game, right, where he got an offensive rebound. He made two free throws to win it with 5 seconds left. And I think that will be kind of the interesting part moving forward. DeMarcus he understands what, you know, Steve Kerr and Rick Celebrini are doing as far as limiting his minutes, but he's been honest that he's frustrated that he wants to play more minutes, he wants to close it out, but it's all under the guise of, hey, we have to phase you into the lineup. Once he crosses that barrier, does he close out? Does Andre Iguodala close out? I think, like with a lot of things, Steve Kerr's going to go with matchups, but I think that the handicap is more in favor of Andre Iguodala just because of the fact that, you know, he has more experience playing with the four other All-Stars, and it's proven to work.
Is it also because defensively he just gives him a little bit more versatility and the ability to switch, and that DeMarcus Cousins maybe is more limited to going up against bigger, slower big men?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you look at yesterday's game, right? He closed out the fourth quarter for the most part, but after he made those two free throws, Steve Kerr took him out and put Kevon Looney for the exact same reasons that you outlined, that they don't want a plotting big man to be defending on the last possession when they have to be accountable for a possible three. So, yeah, I think that that's what's going to happen unless you know, another team has a pretty big center closing out, he's going to be on the bench. And the fact that, you know, in today's NBA, it's more likely that you're going small, especially at the end of games, more likely you're going to be seeing Andre on the floor as opposed to DeMarcus.
15 out of 16. That's what the Warriors have been able to do, and no team in the NBA and the association has done that, you know, that have been that profound as far as winning percentage, even though they may not have the best record. What do you contribute the slow start, you know, to yesterday? I mean, I know people nitpick, but when you see a team down by, you know, 18 and find a way to win, what does that say about the Warriors? Is it Miami? Do they overlook them? Or is Miami, you know, I know they're like the eighth or ninth seed. Are they just a better team than what people think?
I think it's all the above, but, you know, when we're talking about how the Warriors have been playing, winning 15 or the last 16, it's been much different the previous 13 wins as opposed to the last two wins, where I think the first 13 wins, it kind of overlapped with DeMarcus Cousins coming back, all the other All-Stars being healthy, them being engaged defensively. And I think these last two games, they've basically been winning on talent alone and the fact that, you know, they have a little bit of a cushion because of that. I mean, the Suns are obviously the worst team in the Western Conference. Miami is much better, and to their credit, you know, they're one of those teams that, you know, ever since LeBron James left in 2014, they're not going to be an Eastern Conference contender, but, you know, they have really good management, coaching, and maximizing the players that they have. They're always competitive. But I think Draymond Green hit the nail on the head yesterday where he said, hey, it's now the NBA dog days for us. Like, some of that excitement of DeMarcus coming back has kind of waned off, and they know that the All-Star break is just around the corner this week. So it'll be very interesting these next two games against Utah on Tuesday at Oracle Arena and then that back-to-back in Portland on Wednesday, how much that might carry over. And frankly, those two teams are better than the Suns and the Heat, so there's going to be even less margin for error.
He covers the Warriors for the San Jose Mercury News. 95.7 The Game contributor Mark Medina with us here on 95.7 The Game. Mark, as always, thank you so much for your time. Have a terrific Monday.
All righty. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, boys. Two games before the All-Star break. You've got Utah, who is red hot Tuesday night. Then you're at Portland to conclude. In addition to that, there is a new leader in the technical foul department. And how would you grade Boogie Cousins after 10 games?
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Boys and girls, welcome to the Money Spot, brought to you by Cache Creek Casino. It's Cache Creek's Year of Fortune. Someone will win $8,888 at 6 and 9 p.m. every Saturday and Sunday. Visit CacheCreek.com. We have got a lot to get to here with you. First and foremost, the Chilton Auto Body text line is 95795. I'd imagine many of you will want to know that because you will want to weigh in on the following conversation. I was out last week. The major story that broke, Kevin Durant going to war with the media. Interesting because it once again leads into that. Are we more interested in the drama or the on-court basketball? Houston and OKC Saturday night featured game, national television. Outrated by the AAF, the Alliance of American Football. A debate for a later day, but that's probably not something that looks too good to the NBA when their on-court product is getting outrated by their off-court product. But I want to revisit Durant's comments for just a second because it plays into what's happening this morning. Take a listen to last week.
Kevin, the free agency thing really hadn't been that much of a discussion coming to you because we got it loud and clear, at least most of us should have, that it was off limits. Don't
so
go
what's
there.
What's the problem now?
No, just that you've been quiet and you're not usually quiet. You usually share your opinions and stuff. So everybody's like trying to figure out what's going on. And we're all getting questions from fans like, what's wrong with Kevin? I just tell him he's playing okay, but he's not talking right now.
I just don't trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it's get twisted up and thrown out in so many different publications, try to tear me down with my words that I say. So when I don't say nothing, it's a problem. I just want to play ball. I want to go to the gym and go home. That's all. Is that a problem? All right, then.
All right. Now, I'm sure you guys dissected this last week. I had my opinion while I was up in Oregon thinking about how this was playing out. It was dissected nationally, people on both sides of the equation. But the operative words and phrasing in there, and I'm paraphrasing, but I just want to play basketball. I want to go to the gym and I want to go home. Yet this morning, Durant is appearing all over television. Good Morning America, get up on ESPN to promote a new TV show he has with ESPN. Now, the intro to that TV show is Kevin Durant telling you what it's about. We have that for you here. Take a listen.
Basketball is where my world started and where my heart will always be. Every opportunity I have is because of basketball. But what the game means has changed for all of us. Welcome to the Boardroom, where we're going to have candid conversations with some of the greatest minds in sports, business, and tech about what's really changing the game. Now I kick it to our host, Jay Williams.
I'm Jay Williams. This is the Boardroom.
All right, so help me out here. I want to defend Kevin Durant. He's done so much for the community. He's done so much for the team. He was awesome scoring 39 last night. He hits the big dagger three, the step back three to tie that game up when it looked like he was getting away from the Warriors. I want to sit here and defend him when the media comes after him. I want to say, you know what? If you don't want to talk, that's fine. I want to do that. But less than a week later, after telling everyone you just want to play ball and go home, you launch a new show that's about everything but basketball. And now you're doing the media circuit, talking to everyone about this show in order to draw eyeballs to it and probably in order to hopefully put more money in your pockets. I say kudos to you, sir. Capitalism at its absolute finest. But you can't 1 week have the blow up where you don't want the media talking to you and questioning you, and then the next week go out and talk to everyone in the media imaginable to promote your new product that isn't a basketball game.
Right, and he just wants to play basketball. What he really wants, Joe, is he wants to control the media like he controls everything on the basketball court, where he's unguardable and he's unstoppable. But unfortunately, the media doesn't work that way. When you have something like the Boardroom and you control it, yeah, you can go ahead and control it and you can say what you want and do what you want. When you have your podcast with your agent, and you go and talk to Chris Haynes, for example.
Bill Simmons.
That's largely controllable. You know, you can bust Bill up a little bit. You can walk off if you want to walk off. But when you face questions in a post-game situation, and you've got Tim Kawakami and Ethan Strauss, who we had on the program, actually, on the heels of getting called out by Kevin Durant. Monty Poole, you heard the clip that we played. He was involved in that. That's not something that he can control. And so as a result, those are things he doesn't like as much.
I mean, what do you make of this? I saw this last week and I thought to myself, I want to defend Durant. That was my first thought. I want to defend him. How can you make the case that these guys are too hard on him, that we are making too much of this? We're as guilty of it as anyone. We're very excited. He's a marquee player. He rates. Therefore, we talk about him. We talk about his future because that is a popular talking point. All right. People don't stumble into this stuff by accident. So I'm sitting there trying to think of how to defend him. And less than a week later, you've got him all over the media this morning talking to everyone about this new show that has nothing to do with basketball. It's too contradictory to sit there and say, man, I wanted to back you up. I wanted to support you, but you're really going to throw some egg on my face if this is going to be the case 4 or 5 days later.
Well, last week, Dan, you were not talking about controlling. That was me talking about controlling the narrative. You guys were on the side of just saying, here's a guy that's going off. That I was on a narrative that's saying, here's a guy that can go out there, you can play basketball, play a sport, and we're used to being able to control the outcome of anything. If I don't like a linebacker, line up, let's go, and we can settle it. If I don't like certain things, you can actually go out there and control the narrative and control what you can. In the media, this is a guy now that's looking at it and saying, he can't control it. He can't control the narrative when a guy comes out and, you know, it's hypothetical. He write an article. You saw what happened. He talked about, look at KD not in the huddle. He's not around his players. KD can't control that. So now he's automatically saying because KD's not in the huddle around those guys, around his players, there's something wrong. All of a sudden, because in New York, they're talking about he's going to New York. It's a foregone conclusion. And this is why KD's out and the players are saying it's out. And then KD can't control that. He can't control what these guys are writing articles about, hypotheticals and all those different things of why they believe he's out or all these different things. He can't control that narrative. And you talk about podcasts and all those different things. Yeah, he can control those narratives. It's his words. you got to realize, he came out last week, and it was with hate, because he wanted to go out there and go and give the media tongue lashing because the articles and things were written. He's saying that he didn't say that. He didn't control it. And he has to understand that, look, could have been handled different. No question it should have been handled different. But he wore his emotions on his sleeves. He wanted to go out there, and that's something that he did control. He controlled what he said. He wanted to say that. He wanted to go out there and scold these guys. He came out there with the purpose. He could have used other words, but no, he wanted to go out there and do what he felt that he was doing right. Does it make it right? No.
So just to be clear here, when Kevin Durant needs the media, they should be able to schedule time to bring him on and help promote his product so he can make more money, which I'm totally for. But when the media needs Kevin Durant to answer questions for their jobs, that's a problem.
Yes.
That's the issue that Durant has here. The media, they serve a purpose, but only on his terms. Other way, I don't care about anyone else's job or anyone else's future. It's really just about me. Is that really what this is?
Basically,
this
yeah.
This looks terrible. This media circuit he's doing this morning, this looks tone deaf. It looks completely tone deaf and out of touch to bash the media last week. And what were they talking about? This isn't Skip Bayless writing a book about Troy Aikman being gay. Right?
Right.
That was a major issue back then when Skip wrote that book. Troy took major exception to that. Right? No evidence probably whatsoever, yet he puts that in a book to help sell copies. This isn't someone going into your personal life and throwing stuff up on the wall. This is just, hey, you know, where are you going to go next year? Where are you going to play basketball? You know, you're a free agent. That's a contract you signed. That was your choice. And now, you know, we're interested in that because you are a popular player. You are a marquee player. You're someone who draws ratings. There's a reason Nike gave you $300+ million to hawk shoes, right? People like you. People will do what you say. So if you want to use the media to this extent this morning, I think it's brilliant. Go out there and promote the show everywhere you can. But then when they ask questions about your free agency, which is basketball related, why is that such an issue? Like the fact that this is happening less than a week later, I saw that last week and I wanted to defend him. And now I just feel like an idiot watching this morning. He's all over TV.
Yeah.
This is the boardroom. We're going to have conversations about tech and all that. You just said you only want to talk about basketball. Now you're launching a show that is not about basketball. So what do you think's going to happen the next time people want to talk about you? Are you going to go into hiding again? He makes things so unnecessarily difficult for himself. It all comes back to him. He is controlling the narrative. He's feeding the beast. We wouldn't be talking about this today if there wasn't another stage in the equation taking place. Case in point, look at Bill Belichick. Would anyone say he controls the narrative? 20 years he's been New England. He controls the narrative because he knows how to work the media. He's got to answer questions. That's part of the gig. But no one ever said you need to give great answers.
Right.
No one ever said you needed to give people headline fodder or locker room material, bulletin board material. You just have to answer questions. So find ways to answer questions. Find ways to outsmart people. That's what you should be working on if you hate this so much.
And he doesn't hate it. He just doesn't want to do it when it's not on his terms. And that's where last week when he says, I just want to play basketball, man. He's all frustrated. And he goes at Ethan because he can't control what Ethan writes. Ethan Strauss writes the article, and he put in there about how he was standing away from the team and all that. And that's what he took offense to. Yet when you come out in that press conference and you say, I just want to play basketball, man. And then you show up 5 days later when you're not just interested in playing basketball. Really what he should have said is, I don't want to answer any of your questions. I have my own media I'm interested in putting out there. So all y'all can ask me whatever you want. I'm not going to answer your questions. I'll just do what I want in the media.
This is all good press. This is all good press. People are talking about you. That is a good thing.
But people got to realize, guy scored 39 last night, and he's going to continue to be a dominant player. The golden rule, he owns the gold rule, whether we like it or not. Kevin Durant's in a situation and a place that he can demand and do those things, and people are still going to. Why? Because he's a polarizing individual. He's a guy that can go out there and people understand what he could do. There's a lot of guys that talk way more. Look at Miko Grimes' wife and all those different things they say, but they're not a player like of his stature, his caliber. You look at guys like Iverson, T.O., look at Antonio Brown, all these different guys that were superstars that are superstars in their own right, no matter what. The media is going to gravitate toward them because they're great players. They can do things. Does it make it right? No. I think when you look at people and you talk about a guy like Katie, when someone says, hey, where are you going next year? Hell, I go and come on the show and say, hey, they're out of here. These guys, somebody's going to leave. Everyone says, oh, stop trying to break the team up. Let's enjoy the year. So Katie's looking like, okay, I'm just trying to enjoy this year. He might be leaving, maybe going to New York. You see, New York, they took down the signs because, you know, KD said he don't know what Porzingis, he ain't talking all that stuff. I get that. I get that part of it. I understand he's frustrated. I understand he's mad. I understand certain things. If he goes out and say, I'm out after this year, if he goes out and have a bad game, then is he thinking, is it a foregone conclusion? Kevin's out. Is that why he's having a bad game? If Kevin goes out and plays or whatever, if he would say, hey, I'm leaving, they're like, man, Kevin's leaving. It's still, no matter what, it's going to be talked about. That's because it allows us to have a conversation. It allows the media to have a conversation. No matter what he does, when it comes to whether he's going to stay or going to leave, you've seen the Draymond deal. The Draymond said, and that's why he said, everyone said, his lips said, that's why I'm out of here. Draymond said, you're going to leave anyway. You've seen what happened earlier this year. So it's always going to be there, whether he stays, whether he goes. There's always going to be, I think, this surrounding this controversy because of the fact it's a one-year deal.
100% agree. I 100% agree. There's nothing you said there that is disagreeable. It's all factual. I'm just saying, when you get upset, it's going to be hard to feel any sympathy or empathy for you when just a few days later you go out and do the media tour hawking a non-basketball product. I know you're going to say it's about basketball, but you even said in your own intro it's about tech and business, and I'm sure it's going to be a cool show. But you just said you only want to talk about basketball, and then you came out later and didn't talk about basketball. Like, it's going to be tough for me to look at you and be like, man, I feel bad that Durant's going through this. You just do it to yourself. What you should do is tell people today you're going to the Lakers next season, and then let everyone react. And then you'll be asked about that tomorrow. And when you are, tell people, no, that's wrong, I'm going to the Knicks. And then let people react. And then the next day, say you're staying. And then the next day, say you're going to Philly. And just keep doing it to the point where people are like, all right, this guy's messing with us. Make people look like fools. If you're tired of looking like a fool, flip the script. Flip the script. Do something about it. They all stick their microphone in your face every night. Every single night you have an opportunity to take control. So take control. Tell them you're going to the Lakers. Then tell them you're going to the Knicks. People will leave you alone. People will realize they're getting clowned.
By like the 10th team. Yeah, I'm going to Charlotte next year. I really liked it there, the All-Star game.
You think any writer is going to want to have that story every single day and then look like a fool 10 days later after they've written 10 different stories about where you said you're going? Eventually people back away from you. So do it. Just go out and do that. Stop letting people see how affected you are by it, because when they smell blood in the water, it just brings more sharks to the table.
Yeah.
All right. Monday, a little past 7:30. You know what we're doing.
There's some things in life that really piss you off. Now's your chance to unleash the fury. This is the Beef Line. Proudly presented by Harris Ranch. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Available throughout the Bay Area at Raley's and Nob Hill Foods.
Yes, get over there!
Now, it's time to go beef mode.
The Beef Line is presented by our good friends at Harris Ranch. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Available throughout the Bay Area at Raley's and Nob Hill Foods. Ladies and gentlemen, caller number one.
My beef is with Lorenzo Neal. I just called the Beef Line to complain about you talking about LeBron James, Tom Brady, and LaDainian Tomlinson. And within the first 10 minutes of you guys getting back, you're talking about all three of them in the same segment again. I can't believe it. What's going on, O'Neal? What are you doing?
Wow. It's a beef of the day nominee right there.
Really?
Please respond. You got too faced.
Early. I simply made a statement. Joe, we talked about a certain thing. Why is KD with Steph Curry? What a 14. And I said Joe had a wonderful stat about the Patriots in 9 championships they've been in. They only scored 3 points. Does it mean they were losing the game? So I made it a point because Joe said that. So I don't know how this caller can just come down my road that early when I was just tying it in to the Warriors. Don't understand.
So that's the guy who caught the opening few minutes of the show and immediately felt the need to hit the beef line.
It's wrong.
Due to you, 5 minutes into the show. That might be the earliest beef
that's
line
too
call
early.
Ever.
It's great.
And he had a coffee, obviously. My
great?
Goodness.
It's great because you have, how many ties do you have in your closet at home? 50 ties, 80 ties? You can tie it in a different way. Choose a different tie. Instead of your Patriots tie, your Laker tie, okay, and your LT tie.
I didn't say an LT. I didn't do an LT this morning. And I didn't do a Laker. Now you tell me, Mr. Dan Dibley, what team, what franchise in football is any better than New England Patriots right now?
Coach, I stand behind my necktie reference.
That's why. And what team's better than the Warriors? Thank you. That's my point.
You could have used the Red Sox. They just won a World Series.
Pick a different necktie.
That would have been
coach.
Something different. You could have just used Clemson. Clemson's won a couple titles last few years. Saying there are options.
Is it close to what Patriots do?
I think that Clemson is closer to the Warriors than the Patriots are. Would you not agree?
Yes.
The Patriot dynasty's gone 20 years. The Clemson dynasty's 3 years. The Warrior dynasty's 5 years.
You could have tied into the AAF in Birmingham and a great start.
Yeah, that was the right there. That was classic. That was classic.
You're getting motorboated, coach.
Get that out.
You got faced by the caller. Let's see if there's more beef coming in your grill.
Let's keep it moving.
My beef is with all these fans and all these writers talking about how much money athletes make. First of all, it's none of your business. And for all you writers out there, come on, you wouldn't be making any money if it wasn't for these athletes. You'd be writing the 100th bestseller book on the New York Times list, farting around in your mom's basement with a typewriter, wishing that you could cover professional athletes. Stop passing off op-ed pieces like they're factual stories. Let the fans actually know when you have an actual source that's actually giving you some factual information, and stop hiding behind these unnamed sources.
Ooh, good uptick. Great call. I had a great response, and then there was an uptick, and it was like, well, I might want to back away from
back
this.
Away!
First part, you got to let us know what the people make, what the players make. Everyone wants to know that. There's a scene, you ever see that movie with Mark Wahlberg called Rockstar? Where they lose the lead singer of the band, and Wahlberg's such a good fill-in that he gets brought in for an audition and he becomes the new lead singer. All right, so he's like real straight edge after the first performance. Everyone's having a good time, and he's walking around shaking hands and smiling, and the tour manager pulls him aside and basically tells him, look, people look to you. They love you because they want you to live that dream. You have to live that rock star image. You have to throw TVs through hotel room windows. You need to get completely wasted because that's what people look at you as. You're a rock star. That's the image. You have to lead up to it. So then he goes down that path, and that becomes the movie and all that stuff. It's fictional, of course, but we want to know what these guys make because we're infatuated with their lives. They're leading a life we could only begin to dream about. It's why everyone gets excited when the Powerball reaches $500 million, because you think about what you could do with $500 million. An athlete signing a $200 million deal, it's like, damn, imagine if I had that money. You take so much of the fun and the dream out of it. Because every night we watch these guys do what we can't possibly do, right? I can't knock down that step back three like Durant drilled last night. That's why I'm infatuated with him. That's why I'm interested in what these guys make, because they're living the life we only dream to live.
Plus, if you're going to hit me for $16 for a beer, I got to know how much of that's going to Kevin Durant. If he's making $28 million a year, okay, I'm paying $16 beers. If I don't know what he's making, all of a sudden I'm not spending that 16 clams.
Excellent point. Yeah. One of my favorite bits that you do is every time Kalen is in, just bringing up his career earnings, Lowe's career earnings, and just putting them all on black.
The two of them combined is like 44 games of Kevin Durant. Not even a full season.
I remember you doing that, Kalena just staring at you like, what's up with this dude? He's just airing my business everywhere.
Whatever, man. Most of us will never make that in our lifetime, what he and Lowe made in a single year. So, yeah, I'll take a shot every now and again.
Lowe, do you like it when he just airs your business all over?
That's why I got quiet, Joe. No, of course not.
Let me punch it up. Juszczyk has already out-earned you in 2 years with the Niners, but that's neither here nor there.
Now, that was wrong.
That's what I'm talking about.
That was too much. You already had him. You had the fish. When you brought the fish into the boat, you didn't need to pull out the gun and shoot the fish. You had already caught it.
I had the casket slap that fish. Make sure it stayed dead.
Give me the next one.
I'm pissed off with Diamond. Diamond, you get boy like that today. I mean, Frank Isola comes on, and he basically says the same thing that I say. And you disagree with me, and you agree with him. You know, don't do your boy like that. You lost a few points with me, Steinmetz. Come on, man. And I'm out.
Nice.
Sorry, Stein, you just got uptick there.
Yeah. That burns. That burns.
It happens, buddy. It happens all the time. So I know what you're feeling, buddy. Just keep grinding.
Oh, when somebody takes your take and then they use it as their own? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
Gotcha. And is there any specific reason why it happens to you and the caller and not other people, though?
Okay,
we're on to Cincinnati.
You had enough.
I had enough.
Quietly, you did allege that your KD take today was stolen from him last week. Is that true?
Yes. Because
he started his take in the last segment by claiming you had ripped
him
off.
And he's also alleging that...
Anna?
Well, whatever.
Gonna have to go low on this one.
To the T.
What else?
God, dude. Zonder here. just wanted to put my beef for this week for everybody who's hating on KD. KD, bro, you are straight fire, bro. Straight fire. The way you went at the media just needs to stop going down that road of free agency, because obviously you made it clear and nothing is clear.
He's feeling good. He's feeling good. Let him go.
Shout out legalization. Speaking of which, in Oregon, it's like every other store is a, as we were driving up the coast, every other store is a dispensary. In these towns of like 200 people, they got five dispensaries.
Wow.
It's incredible. Oregon truly is a green state. Great news. Part of our Beefline sponsorship deal with the good people of Harris Ranch includes gift certificates to give away for the best beef of the month. Each month, we will give a $100 Harris Ranch beef gift certificate away, available at your local Raley's, Bel Air, and Nob Hill Foods. John Morosi, MLB insider, set to join us in just under an hour at 8:30 to talk the latest on Bryce Harper, the San Francisco Giants, and whether or not there's anything there to get excited about. Klena Azubuike, good friend of the show, going to join us in studio at 9 o'clock to talk all things NBA. We'll focus on the Warriors, but I've got to get his thoughts on what just took place in the Eastern Conference last week. Trade deadline, maybe from a local perspective, wasn't all that exciting. I think most people were focused on what would happen with Anthony Davis, but damn, the Bucks, the Raptors, the Sixers, all going for it. The Celtics coming out after that loss to the Lakers, basically saying they're playing soft. Who is it? Marcus Morris came out and called out his own team afterwards. Like, the Celtics are a mess right now. A mess. Didn't all three of us take them to win the East? I know I did.
Yes.
It was
absolutely
a clean sweep. Warriors Celtics.
Yeah, and I think that you've offered amnesty on that take, and I've refused at least twice, thinking that they were going to turn it around and that the talent would prevail and the great young coach and all that. But that locker room is broken. And maybe it started a long time ago, but when you've got Kyrie being serenaded by LeBron and Kyrie basically throwing his team under the bus and then looking to LeBron for some leadership, that thing's a mess. And the one thing that's being revealed about all of this is that Kyrie Irving is not ready to be a number one alpha on an NBA team that wins.
Strong take. I think you're right. If you look at Kyrie, here's a guy that said, I want him to have my own team. Dibs is right. They throw him to his own team. Is he ready to be that leader? You could say what you want about Kyrie. Is he a talent? Hell yeah. Is he one of the better point guards? You see what the guy does. He's got the best handles, can penetrate, go in there among the trees better than anyone. And yet and still, he can't get this team with that much talent. I think I'm on Toronto, but I think that your team right now looks even better than them.
You know what? How is it not the Bucks? And how is Giannis not the runaway MVP right now? Why are we still talking about Harden?
What is
the situation with Harden that people are so infatuated with? He's scoring a lot of points in a lot of losses. They're the 5 seed, 6-4 over their last 10. Like, what's so great about what Harden's doing? He's taking tons of shots, and as a result, he's scoring lots of points. Okay. Look, has anyone seen what Milwaukee's doing? They're 41-14. They are blowing people out.
Why aren't people talking about them?
They look like the Warriors from the first year of the title run. They kind of come out of nowhere. They're a good team, went to the playoffs last year. People know them, but they're not really, you know, household names. Giannis, obviously. But for the most part, the Bucks coming into the season, they could be a nice story. Like the Warriors were. Now, I'm not saying they're doing it because of the three, but Giannis is the best player on the best team. And that is not a team filled with stars. I know they just made the trade for, Mirotić from New Orleans, but that's a team that, who's the number two there? He doesn't have a bona fide Robin like so many of these other guys. He doesn't have a big three. He's got a very well-coached team, a deep team that plays well together. They are a really good unit that plays good basketball, but he's the engine. Like, he is the literal definition of your most valuable player. The fact that we're even talking about anyone else right now is mind-blowing to me. I know everyone wants there to be the case for Steph, but you look at the team around him, and we've already done the thing with Belichick, where Belichick's been unbelievable but never wins Coach of the Year. People need a new flavor. But the idea of going back to Harden, just because he scores a lot of points, he takes a ton of shots. He should score a lot of points.
Yeah.
He's breaking even in that situation, in my opinion.
He is, and I think if you wind up with a Milwaukee team that has 60 or more wins and they win the East, it's going to be an interesting argument because James Harden's going to end up averaging 35 points a game, which will be the highest in 10 or 15 years. And what he's done with all those games over 30 points in a row, eye-popping numbers, the step-back daddy, the three-ball and all that, yet if Giannis goes out and averages – 28-13-6 and they win the East, it'd be hard pressed not to give it to them.
Why aren't we talking about Milwaukee though? It's because they got two guys on the team that's all stars. Is it? But everyone keeps saying it's Toronto, and still people think Boston and the Sixers. Why is it Milwaukee? Is it the
what's
market?
What's sexy about Milwaukee? Tell me, what's sexy about Milwaukee? Nothing. Nothing. You think Milwaukee, you think snow, you think polar vortex, you think cheese curds, you think, I don't know which beer they make up there. Old style? Is old style what they make there? I know Milwaukee.
Milwaukee's best.
The beast. Oh, good God.
The old Laverne and Shirley was set there. Yeah. Penny Marshall no longer with us.
But they get no love.
But that's it.
You're right.
No one finds that sexy. Nothing sexy about Milwaukee. And the reality is they're outscoring their opponents by 9.7 points per game.
Best record in the NBA.
2 points better than the Warriors, who are the second best. They are smashing teams. They're not just winning games. They are smashing their opponents. Giannis is a freak. The fact that you call him a human and me a human and stand us side by side, that's not accurate at all. Like, tigers look alike. But if that dude and I are the same species, that's not accurate. So there needs to be more of a classification there. Because somewhere along the way, we got way too general with that. Like, anytime you stand Dibs next to Lowe and say these two are the same, no, sorry. You put anyone in this room next to Giannis, even you next to Giannis, you would look small by comparison.
We have to put our intern Ryan next to him, old Melvin, who doesn't have quite the same skill set, but physically they're very, very similar. Both 7-footers with long arms.
And Melvin opened his mouth and bite him. Melvin got him. Put that dinosaur teeth on him.
Brooks Koepka, the golfer who's won back-to-back U.S. Opens.
Yes.
He's a monster.
Monster.
Anytime you see him standing next to other tour golfers, he looks like a linebacker. Big, muscular, the whole thing. He met Giannis the other night.
Yeah.
He looked like nothing. He looked like a little toothpick standing next to Giannis. Nothing. The guy's a freak. He's having a monster season. That's your MVP. That is one of the best, most efficient players in the game on the best team in basketball. There's no other way to slice this. Harden taking tons of shots should result in tons of points. I don't see what's so valuable about that.
Right. Humor me for a second. Embiid or Giannis, compare their games. Because
Giannis is way more athletic, I would say. I think he has a little bit more range.
Better off the bounce to be able to create his own shot.
Do you think he's a better shooter?
Embiid knocks down some threes, but, you know.
I don't
know. Why are you comparing the two? I find that very interesting.
Because we're humoring him for a minute. And this is pretty humorous so far.
I'm willing to. No. I'm not making fun.
Okay, Daniel.
Me either, Joe.
You can humor him.
Humor me, Lo.
Daniel, because I was looking at these two guys. And I think they can take over games. Embiid at times can be childish. I get that. But when he wants to play, honestly, I'm taking him over Giannis.
For MVP?
I think that he's a guy that's inconsistent. I understand where Giannis is MVP. But if you think about what Embiid can do down in the block, that little pump and go, his defense, his block, I don't know. Gibbs.
I think post Embiid offensively a little bit better.
Oh, okay.
Shooting in the mid-range and short of three-point distance, I'd go with Giannis. Maybe three-point shooting would be slightly to Embiid. But the big difference maker for me is Antetokounmpo's ability off the dribble to not quite what Kevin Durant does, but he's more like Kevin Durant than he is like Embiid, in my opinion. To be able to put it on the ground and not always go to the rim, but pull up. Shoot that 16-footer. I don't know if Embiid has that in his game as much right now.
Embiid's 27-13 this year. 27.4 points per game, 13.5 rebounds per game. He had a monster game against the Warriors last week. He had a monster performance against the Lakers yesterday. Antetokounmpo, 27 points, 12.5 rebounds. Now, he's more in the assist game, and there's some other ways to slice that. I mean, I think you make an interesting case.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, if you're ranking MVPs, are those your top two candidates right now, or are you going?
For me, yeah. I think what they can
Kalena do. Kalena coming in at 9 is going to be able to help us with this.
How they take over the game? Of course, Harden, because his shooting. But he's shooting.
No, not
like
of course Harden. I'm tired of the Harden conversation. He's just jacking up a ton of shots, and in return, he's getting a lot of points. Where's the value in that? How many guys in the NBA could you give that many shots to that score that many points?
A lot.
If Steph gets that many shots tonight, he's putting up that many
absolutely.
Points. If
KD,
Durant gets that many absolutely. Shots tonight, he's putting up. What he's doing isn't that unique outside of the volume because no one else is getting involved. You're a 5 seed in a West that isn't necessarily as tough at the top end as it's been in the last few years. Go back to the original Warrior run, the second year. The Spurs were still a quality team. You had the Warriors, of course. You had some other teams that found their way. The Durant Russell Westbrook, yep. Oklahoma City Thunder. Yep. Those were tough Western conferences. Like, Denver, maybe they're legit. Utah's coming on strong, too. The Warriors are going to get them tomorrow night. They won 14 of 18, right?
Yeah.
But no one really trusts them too much in the playoffs yet because they got to go out and prove it. I'm trying to figure out why Harden as a 5 seed right now is getting so much credit. You take a lot of shots, you get a lot of points. Okay, fine. I eat a lot of food. I intake a lot of calories.
Yeah.
It's not like there's anything unique about it. It looks good at times, and he's putting up all these ridiculous statistical streaks. But where's the value versus Antetokounmpo? Like, what Giannis is doing, the Bucks are smashing people, and no one's talking about
it. You're right.
If you want to bring Embiid into the equation, fine. I take Embiid over Harden.
I'd take Embiid friggin' over to Unibrow. If you just told me this, the way that he's, Dibs, when you're watching him, you're seeing this guy, he does this little pump, and he'll get the big guys up and little guys up, and he goes.
Yeah.
He's quicker than what people think, and he can get down in a post and just, he imposes will. Rebounding, just shot blocking. I mean, he could stretch the court, dribble. I think the friggin' guy. I'm a fan.
What makes for a more entertaining NBA Finals? Warriors versus who? Because now the top end of the East coming off that trade deadline, loaded. Everybody armed up. You got Paul Gasol or Marc Gasol. Yeah. Excuse me, it's all the same.
We're Toronto.
It's all the same DNA.
He went over to Toronto. Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you rather see in the NBA Finals for the Warriors? Because we're not getting the LeBron Finals.
Before he answers, you can tell where this is going. You can smell it all morning long as he's abandoning one ship and he's trying to raise his flag on the other. But go ahead. Humor me.
What did that? Was that needed? I told you
I've
been on Toronto.
It was needed because you were bandwagoning on Philadelphia.
Wait a minute. I've been one of the guys that said, you look at what Toronto has done, and I talk about friggin' their big man, the African that they got, and he's been solid.
Ibaka,
we loved him. I said they're a team that people should be talking about. I've always been on Toronto. I thank you for being on the same page with me.
I'm with you, brother.
And now they went out and got Gasol, so you can understand. And he's got a mid-range jumper. He can play with his back to the ball.
Sure.
He's physical. I think if you look at what Toronto has done, I think Toronto's a team to beat. But I'm telling you, the style that I don't want to see with the Warriors, because styles make fight. They don't match up good against the 76ers. They don't match up. The 76ers don't match up. I don't think they have an answer.
Well, let's say they don't match up but as well. Let's use that phrase because the reality is who matches up with Golden State. But I see where you're going. I'm not saying you're wrong.
That Philadelphia starting five is nasty, though. If you go just starting five against the Warriors starting five, and you can take Iguodala or Cousins, apologies to Looney, but we'll take the finishing five, let's say. You go player for player in matchups like we did the draft the other week. And now
I'm more about it, by the way.
And now you throw Tobias Harris into the mix. All of a sudden, that team is much more difficult to handle.
Well, here's your big problem for the Warriors. The offensive glass. Rebounding has been a problem in general, but the last two games against doormats in Miami and Phoenix, you had the Miami Heat last night outshoot them by 23 shots. Miami got up 23 additional shots.
Can't happen.
Over the Warriors. Against Phoenix, 20 shots. The Suns got an additional 20 shots. Now, a lot of that, sometimes due to turnovers, we know that. But the offensive glass. Out-rebounded on the offensive glass last night, 21-7, and against Phoenix, 19-9. Grand total, 40 offensive rebounds for the opposition over the last two games to just 16 for the Warriors. Now,
we do
a really good job these last few years of nitpicking the problems because, truth be told, you're going home and you're going to fall asleep pretty quick tonight if the Warriors are your team to win the title. But still, as you nitpick this, you're right. A matchup with a team like Philadelphia with Joel Embiid, who had 20 rebounds. DeAndre Ayton the other night was killing them on the glass. Last night, the Miami Heat were all over the glass. That would be the type of thing that you'd be alarmed by. The question is there anything you can do about it? You can hope Boogie can play more minutes. Are they going to go out there and do something on this buyout market? I mean, do we have to have the Robin Lopez conversation again? And if we do, are we excited about the opportunity to bring in Robin Lopez?
We're excited about the opportunity to bring in somebody because you've had this 15th roster spot for the entirety of the season. And maybe it's Frank Kaminsky, Joe. There's a lot of buzz around the office about Frank the Tank.
Yeah, what is this, the Final Four? I don't understand why everyone's so excited about Frank Kaminsky. I saw the email chain last night. You're all fired up as
Frank
well.
Frank the Tank, baby. He could be the answer. He's
in
a stretch five.
He's a good college basketball player. He hasn't done anything in the pros.
Yeah, I it's going to be interesting
bring
to see what they,
right
what they
now.
Do. I'm for a big
guys.
Man. I'm for a big man. I think that you look at Looney and what he's been able to do. He's a solid player, but playoff. We know, Dibs, you always talk about they shorten the rotation and those different things. You got to do better on the board. And, yeah, this team, we understand. And when they start shooting and they get hot, they're pretty hot. But, you know, I'm worried as Cousins. Can Cousins last? Cousins' minutes is going up. And the more he plays, I think Cousins is going to get better. The Achilles is going to get better. He's starting to get more and more comfortable. He needs to find himself a little bit more on defense and be more assertive. Also, the boxing out. They got to do a better job of boxing out and getting the glass.
Without a doubt. It's got to be a team effort.
It's got to be.
You know, Joe, you were mentioning Philadelphia and matchup wise, and you look at the overall rebounds per game in the NBA, and Draymond Green is 40th, and you got two Philadelphia 76ers ahead of him. Obviously Embiid, but Simmons averages 9+ rebounds as well.
That's the one. Simmons ain't getting enough. Simmons, because
he's long, he can jump.
A point guard, and he's in there. He's going to get out rebound any point guard out there. He's long. He can jump. You're absolutely right.
And I think the more DeMarcus plays, the better their differential will be on the glass. If you look at his numbers per 36 minutes, and I know he's only playing, what, 23 minutes a game, Joe? If he gets closer to 30 and he still holds those same marks per 36 minutes, all of a sudden now he's averaging, or he's going to add 3, maybe 4 more rebounds a game just in his increased minutes, because his per 36 numbers are pretty comparable to where they've been throughout his career.
Let me ask you this, though. If he can play more minutes, how much more is it going to matter? Think before you answer, because I'm going to give you a real small sample size. But the all-star lineup, or what are we calling the boogie lineup? All-star lineup?
I think it's the all-star lineup, yeah.
So if I say that, everyone knows what I'm talking about?
Yes.
The all-star lineup played 15 minutes against Phoenix. They were outscored by 22 points. The all-star lineup was on the court for 19 minutes together yesterday against the Heat. They were outscored by 15 points. They're minus 37 with that five-man lineup in their last two games against two doormats in the Suns and the Heat. Again, very small sample right there. Very small. So you probably don't get worked up about it. But if our logic is, well, more minutes from Cousins should lead to less of a problem on the offensive glass, that unit in general has been struggling as of late.
Yeah, I think those
throwing
are,
that out there.
Those are tough matchups, especially when you talk about DeAndre Ayton, who I know had his way.
No, Phoenix is not a tough matchup. I'm sorry, it does not matter.
DeAndre Ayton is a tough matchup. He's younger, he's bigger, he's bouncier than DeMarcus Cousins. That's a bad matchup.
And they were 10-point underdogs to the Kings yesterday. When was the last time the Kings were a 10-point favorite over anybody? Were they even a 10-point favorite over anyone back during the Weber days? That's insane. And not only that, fun fact, they covered the number. Phoenix is so lousy.
Wow.
So no, not a matchup problem.
You know, Joe, it's a tough matchup. Low, as I turn my attention to you, DeAndre Ayton, I believe, young,
he's big,
vibrant, bouncy.
And I think that you guys are talking about, both you guys are right. I mean, you guys are in two different churches.
You got to pick a side.
No. You didn't this morning.
No.
When you're talking about...
I filibustered. Asking for you to filibuster.
No.
Side.
Here's what I'm simply saying. Phoenix... You're right. Team-wise, it's not a tough matchup. Totally. Team, it's a different team. But you're talking about individual matchups, Joe. The big fella is a nightmare problem. He is a matchup problem, individually, but not team-wise.
No, I'm sorry. I refuse to accept that.
That's not picking... That is not me doing that.
Yeehaw! Hey.
Phoenix is 11-47. They've lost 14 straight. I'm sorry. There's no matchup problem there. There's not a matchup problem there for our boss's kid who plays in, a 10th grade, 10-year-old league?
He's a fifth grader.
That's not even a matchup problem. They would probably be 5-point dogs to the Suns. The Suns have lost 14 straight. There is no matchup problem there.
Shout out Mount Carmel and a gritty little 5B team.
That team, I'm sure there are great teams up there.
Good Shout second out. Unit.
I'll take them plus the points against the Suns. The Suns stink. They're 30.5 games out. 30.5. We're not even at the All-Star break. How are you 30.5 games out in any sport before the All-Star break?
Yeah.
You should be able to roll the basketball out there and win a couple games.
Let me tell you something real quick. If Ben Simmons could shoot, let me tell you right now, they'd be the best team in the NBA. If he had
it. All right. Enough. First of all, Dibs is right. Too much of you jumping on the Sixers.
I'm not
on
Thank
no.
you.
No, too much.
Can I just...
Get off.
Okay.
Let me tell
There's
you
only
about...
room for one. I'm on it. I've been on it my whole
they're
life.
They're not winning the You're championship.
Off.
Wait a minute.
Back up.
I'm not on them like they're winning the championship. No, Joe. Just listen to me. We're having a conversation.
Let me tell you about J.J. Redick, Joe.
We're having a shouting really match. It. I don't know what the four-man Royal Rumble was last week, but we're Joe. Back
Ray.
To the shouting and the fighting.
You know it. That dude can't shoot. He can't. But he shoots worse than Dibs. I mean,
you've never seen me shoot, so I mean, that is wildly inappropriate.
You can't jump.
You don't know what I can and can't do with a basketball.
It's hard with one leg.
I'm a knockdown shooter.
We can assume. I've seen you hurt yourself getting out of that chair.
That is true.
So I will take Simmons.
That's
over
real.
Davis.
That is true. I'd like to take my chances against the pride of the Orlando Magic, Markelle Fultz. Which congratulations to you, Joe, and your 76ers.
Great trade. Trading him for a roll of single-ply toilet paper would have been a win for the 76ers. Yeah, that's right. I said it.
Single-ply?
What's he doing? What's he doing? At least the single-ply serves a purpose. What's he do?
Does it?
Yeah, you know.
What are you using in a pinch? Single-ply or your hand?
Single.
You made me come to this point. You could have just agreed with me from the beginning. You sat there. You made your faces.
Bad.
You had to think it out. And then you realize, you know what? Fournball's right. Single ply over Markelle Fultz.
I'm going to use leaves.
What?
Watch out for the poison ivy. I can see that happening. And then you come in. The world's against you. Yeah. Everyone's against you. This is unfair.
No.
Thibs put the poison ivy out there.
Must have.
It's his fault.
Yeah. Got to be something.
I don't know. How did we
I don't know. How'd we get
How do we
that?
Get anywhere?
Yeah, yes. Let's get to the reset here. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. This is your 8 o'clock hour. 30 minutes from now, we will be joined by John Morosi, MLB insider extraordinaire, to talk Bryce Harper, the Giants, and whether or not a match could possibly take place sometime in the near future. Kalena Azubuike, good friend of the program, is going to join us in studio in about an hour. I want to touch on the Harper thing for a moment before we go back to the Warriors. Pitchers and catchers report for the Giants in 3 days. 3 days. How is this? When Martinez signed with Boston last year, had everyone reported?
I think so. It was right in this window, mid-February. I'll check the exact date, but I want to say that it was right after pitchers and catchers reported. Because he's neither a pitcher nor a catcher.
Hot stove ever.
Has to be.
Worst hot stove ever. I was led to believe 3 years ago that this was going to be an awesome free agent season. This was supposed to be awesome. Machado, Harper, Kershaw, whatever ended up happening with Kershaw. He's just going back to the Dodgers? I don't even remember reading about that.
Yeah,
I'm assuming they came to terms on something.
Makes sense that something like that would happen, but it didn't make any news, and there's been no Ripple, Machado, or Harper. There's been nothing, Coach.
I mean, you touched on it earlier today, the idea of the Giants trying to slide in here and maybe offering him a short-term deal. Maybe he's looking for 10 at 300, 10 at 400, and he's getting a bunch of six-year offers. Think about it. He's 26, so a six-year offer takes him to 32. You re-enter the market, you start thinking, I don't know. What am I going to be worth at that point? Will I be able to maximize my potential? You see a guy like Durant now doing the 1+1. And everyone looks at that and says, well, yeah, if he just signed a Supermax, he would make more. Would he? If you look at a series of 1+1s versus the Supermax he could have signed, a lot of these guys can get within about $10 million of that total price value. So there is some fancy footwork that can take place to get you close. Granted, there's risk, injury, freak accident, something that would prevent you from cashing in down the line because you signed a short-term deal. But I can see why a baseball player like Harper, who's been waiting for this, wants the long-term deal. But it's not going to be out there. Baseball's wising up. In so many regards, baseball doesn't get it, but they're wising up here. The 10-year deal isn't working. Give me an example of a 10-year deal that the team came away feeling great about it. Right? I'll wait. There is no example. Even with Miguel Cabrera, the moment he signed it, it was like, good God, look at, he's going to be 37, 38 towards the end of that thing. It's not going to be worth it. Albert Pujols, Ryan Howard, the guys that signed these monster deals, Robinson Cano, remember when he signed that deal? That didn't pay out at all.
You have to go back to probably Alex Rodriguez and maybe the first of his two $250 million deals that actually did work out, but he signed that when he was like 19 or 20.
That was like 10 years, $250 million right. When he was with the Rangers, but then they...
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.